All right. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our Wasatch Back Economic Summit. We invite you to take your seats so we can get started here today. I hope you all had a good breakfast and got carb loaded for the day. You may not know, but we have our inaugural first ever Wasatch Back Economic Summit 10K up the Green Monster today. So get carb loaded. We're going to run up the mountain today. So should be a lot of fun. Well, welcome every morning. Good morning, everybody. My name is Dallin Kosher. I'm the Executive Director of Gila Valley Tourism, Economic Development, and the Chamber of Commerce. And I'm grateful to have you all here today. And I want to say on behalf of the Planning Committee and the Park City Chamber and Visitors Bureau, welcome to the 2026 Wasatch Back Economic Summit presented by Zions Bank. Woo-woo, yeah. That's worth clapping for. Get your hands warmed up. We're going to do a lot of clapping today. We are excited to be here today. This summit has been transformative for our region and has brought our two communities together as we look to create a stronger and a more united Wasatch Back. So this is a great summit for that activity. We're also very grateful for our title sponsor, Zions Bank, who's been with us for many years now and has been a great partner for the summit, and they are a wonderful partner here. So let's give Zions Bank a round of applause for being our title sponsor. You know, these events don't happen without the great help of lots of partnerships, and we have a lot of great partnerships here today. First, I want to share our presenting sponsors, Park City Chamber and Visitors Bureau, Gila Valley Chamber of Commerce, Intermountain Health, Park City, and Intermountain Health Gila Valley Hospitals, the Park City Board of Realtors, the Park City Municipal Corporation, Summit County, Wasatch County, Summit Events DMC, Grand Hyatt Deer Valley, and Heber City. So let's give those folks a round of applause for being our presenting sponsors for today. Additionally, we have some other sponsors. We have our community sponsors, which include KPCW, Canyons Village Mountains Management Association, Crandall Capital, Deer Valley Resort, Deer Valley East Village, Mountainland Technical College, and Extel. Our supporting sponsors are Acme Commercial Real Estate, Park City Mountain Resort, and our friends of the back sponsors are Mickey Couture and EDC Utah. So let's give those folks a round of applause. And if you were keeping track, that was 22 sponsors who made this event possible. So that's really exciting for us to have that much support from our local community to see what the value of this event is for us today. So when you see them out here today, shake their hands, and thank them for what they have done for us today, and to make this an affordable event for all of us here today. Additionally, we have elected officials and other members of the community here today. So if you are here and we'd love to recognize you, please stand when we read your name or your organization. So we have officials from Wasatch County, elected and staff. For those folks here, please stand. You have Heber City, elected and staff. We have Summit County, Park City, municipal elected officials and staff. We have the Gila Valley Chamber staff. I know they're here, so we can all stand up. Come on, let's all stand up. We have the Park City Chamber of Commerce and Visitors Bureau staff and board members. So those folks here would like to stand. There's some in the back. Let's give them a big wave. We know they're here. And then we'd like to recognize any of our state and federal delegations who are here today to support this event. So grateful for this event. I'm grateful for their support. As you all know, this is a very positive event and very exciting event, and it takes a lot of work, and we have a great team who puts it on. So I want to especially thank the Park City team and the Gila Valley team for their efforts in putting this event together. That includes Jessica Turner, Missy Mons, Scott House, Jennifer Wesselhoff, Elizabeth Bolton, Becca Gerber, Natalie Cole, and Morgan Mingle, who have been who have done a lot of great work for this event. So please give those folks a round of applause. And additionally, all the good that's happening today comes from those folks. If anything bad happens, you can blame it on me. It's fine. We also want to thank Summit Events, who put the finishing touches on this event, who've made it super special and make it all the great things that make this event happen. There's so many details that I know I would forget, and so I'm grateful for Dave, Sasha, and Andrea for their help today. So let's give those folks a round of applause. They are amazing. Finally, we have a great lineup for you today. There's a lot of great information and data that will come for us today. I want to thank all of our panelists and moderators and those who will participate today for their efforts that they put into this event. This is no small task, and they've done a great thing for us, so we are really grateful for that. On the back of your lanyards, you'll have a QR code that'll take you to the runner show today with the agenda. So if you have any questions about where you need to be or what's going on, you can scan the QR code and go there. Additionally, KPCW is our exclusive media sponsor, and they'll be recording all the panels today. So you can find those panels if you aren't able to make it to one or want to hear a different one. You can go to WasatchBackEconomicSummit.com in a few days, and those will be uploaded there. So we're grateful for KPCW to do that for us. And once again, we're grateful to be back here at the Grand Hyatt. What a beautiful space this is, and what a wonderful place for all of us to gather between Summit and Wasatch Counties. And we want to invite our friend Nate Hardesty, General Manager of the Grand Hyatt, to come give us a few words and welcome us to the event today. Nate.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. For those of you that I have not had the pleasure of meeting yet, my name is Nate Hardesty. I am the general manager here and really excited for the opportunity to host this for the second year. I relocated here a year ago, almost exactly when this event happened last year, and due to some personal circumstances, I wasn't able to attend. So really excited to be here and to sit with all of you and to learn about all that is going on. Just a couple housekeeping notes. If you're looking for the restrooms, they're going to be right out this door and across the hallway. And then as you go into breakout sessions this afternoon, you're just going to go one level up on the escalator. There's a few down here on this level as well, but most of our breakout rooms are one level up on the escalator. So, and then just personally, I want to thank you. You know, I've spent the better part of my career moving around the country, almost lived in 10 states at this point, and we were looking for a place to call home. And we were lucky enough that this opportunity came up, and it has just been such a welcoming community and such a tight-knit group, and so I'm really excited to be here and to learn more about it today. So anyway, that's it for me. Just wanted to say enjoy the day, and I am now going to introduce Jennifer Wesselhoff. Are you mic'd up?
Thanks, Nate. Welcome, everybody. We're so happy to have you today. This is an annual event that we've been sponsoring for many years now, and this year we've changed it up a little bit. Generally, we talk about transit and transportation and development and growth and housing and, you know, all of the issues that we know are very important to you. And this year we thought we would organize the day a little bit differently. We have three tracks for you to choose from. Building business resiliency, tourism and product development, and workforce development. So you'll still hear a lot about transit and transportation and housing and all of those issues that are really important to you just within those three tracks. I'm reminding you now to please take the feedback survey at the end of the day. We listen to your feedback and we care about your comments about the events, which is why we've changed the program a little bit this year. And I'll give you a quick rundown of what to expect today. First, we'll hear from our keynote speaker, which I'm so excited to have Natalie Gochner here with us today. Then we're going to not dilly-dally at all today, and we're going to head straight to our breakout sessions. The first breakout session is from 9:30 to 10:45, and then we're going to go back-to-back with breakout sessions today, this morning. And we'll ask you to move fairly quickly from the first breakout to the second. Now, some of you may have told us and registered for particular breakout sessions. It's okay if you don't remember what you signed up for. Just take a look at the full agenda at your QR code and pick whichever is interesting to you. So you don't necessarily have to know which one you signed up for. Also, I want to acknowledge that we're working really hard to make today a sustainable event. So please work with us to reuse, recycle, and also thank you to those of you who chose a meatless option for lunch today, and thank you for your efforts with that. We're going to come back to this room at 12:30, where we'll have a panel from folks who were in Milan, Cortina for the Olympic Games to hear a little bit about what they learned, and then we'll have one more breakout session after lunch. So, really great program for you today. Please stick around. Our mixer and networking event will start at 3:30. You told us last year that this event went a little bit late, so we're hoping that you can stick around with us for some mixing and networking, and then hopefully head out before 5 o'clock. So with all of that, let's get rolling. We have a really great program for you, and I'm so excited and thankful that Natalie Gochner is here with us today. She is the Associate Dean from the David Eckel School of Business and the Director of the Kempsey Gardner Policy Institute at the University of Utah. When I was reading a little bit more about Natalie, I'm always just so impressed with her. Every time I hear her speak, I learned something. She just has such an incredible way of presenting data in a way that's easy to digest. And I learned that she has served 3 Utah governors and also was a political appointee in the George Bush administration. She's authored 250 published columns in Utah Business Magazine and the Deseret News. But I think one of the biggest compliments that I've read about Natalie is that she is involved in the program called Both Sides of the Aisle that is now on Utah Public Radio, where she is described as the, quote, common sense middle. I think that's just the best compliment you could give someone. She also serves on many boards. Most close to our home is the Utah Olympic Legacy Foundation and the Utah Transportation Commission. So with all of that, please join me in welcoming Natalie Gochner to the stage.
Yeah, such a kind introduction. Thank you for having me this morning. I love this state, and I love seeing new things happening in our state. And this is my first time at this incredible facility, and I can just imagine there's going to be a lot more times that I'm going to be in this ballroom because of how just beautiful this area is and just the incredible development that's here occurring here. So I have a tough assignment. I've got about 20 minutes or so, 25 minutes or so, and I can feel a vibe in the room, and it's a pretty positive vibe, and I prepared a message that isn't as positive as the room feels, and I have to kind of work through that, but the way I'll say it is that it's a tough time. Our world's on fire. I'm an economist by training, and I, you know, take data and distill it and try and make sense of it. And out of respect to you and whatnot, I'm just going to be really bluntly honest and share with you what I'm seeing. But I'll start a little bit more negative and I'll end a little bit more positive. Does that sound okay? Okay, so I'm going to give a little bit of a Utah economic backdrop. This chart here shows you job growth in Utah for the most recent month to month, March of 2025 to March of 2026. That top bar there is a 0.6% job growth. That's really low for our state. We average in the 2-3%, 0.6, okay? So a lower overall job growth, most recent reading. But what I really want you to see is if you're looking over on the left side of that chart, you see a lot of contracting industries, negative numbers, mining contracting, manufacturing contracting, information, that's our tech sector. But a lot for this group, look at the leisure and hospitality declined month to month, or sorry, year over year in March, 1.6%. Now this has a little bit to do with the ski industry. Wasn't a great year, obviously. But we have tepid job growth in this state. Here is job growth for all 50 states. Just to make it easier for you, the darker the color, the higher your job growth. It's very common for Utah to be 1, 2, or 3. Right now, we're 6th. And California is growing faster than Utah. California economy is growing faster than the Utah economy. That's very unusual. We'll kind of unpack that. This is job growth over time for Utah. So, you know, when did the pandemic end? I don't know, but I'm picking January 2023, and you just watch it decline over time. We also measure consumer sentiment. We ask questions every month of a random sample of Utahns. Is now a good time to make a major purchase? How do you feel about the direction of our state and the direction of our country? And the gray line here is U.S. consumer sentiment. The blue line is Utah's. But if you look at the very tail end of the right, you can see dramatic drop in Utah. It's circled on what I can see. So people are feeling it. I don't know if you're feeling it, but people in our country or people around you are feeling it. So that's a real quick summary of the Utah economic backdrop. Now I'm going to go to the U.S., and it gets a little bit even dimmer. So this is payroll job change. It's just a way of saying this is the measurement. I've circled Liberation Day, okay? So April of 2025, that's when the tariffs went live. And this is a smooth six-month moving average of job growth, because job growth kind of bounces up and around. But if you smooth it out, you can absolutely see the slowing of the U.S. economy. Now, I'm not saying it's completely related to tariffs, but I'm also making the point that it's with the tariffs that this serious decline started. Okay, what about prices, inflation? This is what they call core personal consumption expenditures inflation. This is what the Fed likes to track more than anything else. That yellow line that you see going across, you know, kind of halfway up, that's what the Federal Reserve targets. It's about 2% annual, but this is the monthly number. You can see that in the right side of the graph, how inflation has pushed upward, and it's nowhere near where the Fed wants it to be. So the real challenge to the Federal Reserve is that you've got employment down and inflation up. That's unusual. That's what they call stagflation. Normally, when you have a hyped-up economy, an overheated economy, you got job growth and price growth. We have price growth and tepid job growth. Tough situation to be in. And it gets tougher because this is what's happening to the price of oil. Brent crude is the global price. Now, this is truncating my graph a little bit. That's why you see some floating numbers there. But you know as well as I do that the price at the pump's up about $1. Normally, we would expect Brent crude to be about $70 a barrel. It's $109 as of like late last week. It jumps around. When you have higher oil prices, you get some things that you don't like to see. And I'm kind of trying to highlight them here. Gasoline prices go up by $1 for every $40 bump in the price of oil per gallon. Consumers right now, if this sticks, we'll pay $120 billion more in price of filling up their tank than they're paying for other things, right? That's $120 billion that they're not putting into other things. In our country, because we're a net exporter of oil, this becomes redistributive. You, as a consumer, pay more, and the energy companies get more because we're a net exporter. A lot of it stays here, so it's not a loss, but it moves money from one to another. And so if you just have some, I hate to use the R word, but if you kind of play with what the probability of a recession looks like, the red line's this probability. This is going way back in time. Each of those gray areas is a recession. And if you get close to 50% probability, it happens. And Moody's is measuring at 40% right now. Now, Jennifer's sort of like, Natalie, why did I invite you? Because this is a pretty negative message. But I wanted to just be honest with you about the pressures that the Utah economy and the U.S. economy are feeling as you, in the Wasatch back, make decisions about your companies, your investments, your employees, and where we're headed. And there's actually good news ahead, in the sense that you are in the state of Utah, you are in urban Utah, you are in the back of urban Utah. There's almost no better place to be in the entire country than in Utah, and then in urban spaces, and then in urban spaces that are beautiful and have high life quality like what you see. So we've been documenting at the Gardner Institute what we call the new Utah. It's this idea that Utah is rapidly changing. And as we change, we become a different state. And our challenge is, how do we grow and change and still maintain everything that makes us special? So what is the new Utah? Well, we've gone from a small state to a mid-sized state. I'll show you the data that documents this in a minute. We've gone from a state that gets most of its growth from our children to a state that is a magnet state, attracting people through in-migration. We've gone from a state that was pretty monocultural to a state that is very racially and ethnically diverse. I'll show you the data on this. We've gone from a state that's young and we're getting older. And then the last one is the tough one. We've become much less affordable. So just to document the data, this is our plot to a mid-sized state. This is just a ranking among states. We're now the 30th largest state in the country. All of these gray states, I'll let you try and pick them out, are smaller than Utah. And so, you know, I was really excited to see the Utah Jazz got the number 2 pick yesterday, and I'm excited about what's, you know, our state and what's happening in our urban center. And we're a mid-sized state. We're a smaller market, but we're not, there's a lot of places that aren't as big as Utah right now. Utah components of population change. On the left, you're seeing historically the gray are all these babies. That's the percent of our population that comes from births minus deaths. On the right, you see all the red workers. That's migration. We've become a net migration state in a big way. We've now had 34 of 36 years of net in-migration. Oh my goodness. That makes a different state. That's like taking all of Utah County, Provo, Orem County, and putting it in our state of all people from the outside. When I started my career in 1990, we were about 9%, almost 1 in 10, a racial and ethnic minority. It's now 1 in 4. Just kind of think about that for a minute, right? That is a new Utah. That is a different state. And then we are getting older. This is the percent of the population, 65 and older, in our projections. So we go from, you know, about 1 in 10, 65 and older today, 20%. That would make it, you know, 1 in 5. So more racially and ethnically diverse, older, in migration, mid-sized state, and then the one that we don't like to talk about being more expensive. And I'm just picking housing as the proxy here. The red line is what Utah's housing's done. The blue is what the U.S. has done. Okay, so bringing it to you all just a little bit on the Wasatch back, I just pulled a couple of things to just kind of look at. And I'm going to put Morgan County in the Wasatch back here. Morgan County right now is leading the state in job growth. A lot happening. Wasatch County ranks third. That won't surprise a lot of you, but that's a hard, hard ranking to get. That means Wasatch County's jobs are outpacing Salt Lake County's, Utah County's, Davis County's, Weber County's, Washington County, where St. George is. And so, you know, this is obviously you're in a growth area. When we look at population growth, Wasatch County's projected to be the state's fastest growing county over the next 4 decades. I know you live it and you feel it. I hope you agree with our numbers, but that's what we're seeing. And in 2025, the most recent estimates that were just released last week, Heber City and Morgan were the two fastest growing places in the Wasatch Back. Now, some of you are kind of scratching your head and saying, well, where's Summit? Where's Park City? I'll just say that Summit and Park City are known for really high quality growth that isn't off the charts. It's a more managed growth, and it just shows up in the numbers. It's in part, I think, deliberate decision-making. I'll let y'all decide that. Here's what growth looks like in our projections. So the darker the color, the higher your growth rate. And I know you may not know the counties all the way, but if you look kind of dead center, how would I describe it? It's the 0.7% there. That's Salt Lake County. And then you have a ring of growth around the capital county. Those are all those dark colors. So we have Wasatch County at 1.9. I mentioned it's the fastest growing. We have Summit County at the 0.7%. The state average here, I think, is closer to around 1.3. And then you can just kind of see how those shape out. All right, so what does it all mean? I put the comment, what next? this is where I'm going to kind of go off script a little bit and just opine with you for a minute. What is next for the Wasatch Back? I see the Wasatch Back as a place of growth and change. I see the Wasatch Back as a place that's going to feel a lot of pressure, particularly Wasatch County, because of the buildable land supply that is there. What do you have to do when you're feeling these kinds of pressures? You have a lot of what I'll call critical lands. These are lands that have value in the way they currently are, and they're going to have forces for change. Summit County is a leader here. Summit County, what they did many years back with the Osgathorpe Barn, the big white barn, and preserved that area, critical lands that were conserved by buying the development rights and conserving that quality of life as a gateway entrance to the community. That's powerful, what a community did to recognize we have to get ahead of growth and conserve some things that make us special. That force hits straight on in Wasatch County right now. What does the community do to preserve the beautiful agricultural lands, the beautiful view sheds, and whatnot, to care for life quality in that county? And this becomes a matter of public leadership, in my judgment. So what else would I say? I want to talk about the Olympics for just a second. Brad Wilson leads our Olympic effort, Utah 2034, and he basically says, I went to Milan and what I learned is how important Utah is to the Olympic movement. Utah is incredibly important to the Olympic movement. Why is that? Because we have so much competence when it comes to putting on games, being a winter sports capital, doing what we do. It turns out that the Olympic movement's really important to Utah. The reason it is so important to Utah is because it is a catalyst for us to get our act together and keep progressing in a way that serves residents of our state. It's a catalyst for us to get better in every way, for restaurants to get better, for hotel service to get better, for our transportation system to get better, for our universities to get better. Every company I work with as an economist and in the flagship business school in the state, they're doing master plans through 2035. Why are they doing that? Because why would you stop in 2033? You know, the Olympics is a catalyst for us to improve, and you all in the Wasatch Back are in a very big way the leader of where this state is headed with Olympism. This joy of sport, joy of competition, joy of community and putting on a really terrific games. Now, I'm going to skip some of this Iran stuff because that's a bad vibe. To end on a positive here, to let you know that we're coining something at the Gardner Institute we call the Magnificent Seven. This is a look at the Utah economy and saying what makes it truly exceptional, and it is what we call the Mag Seven, and it is a special, special list of which you are all a part. Number one, we have, in 2025, we led the nation in GDP growth, so a very dynamic economy. Number two, this size surprises people. We have the highest household income of any state when you adjust for cost of living. I grew up thinking that we were a low-income state. No, Utah has high household income, and we have the lowest poverty rate in the country. Special characteristics to have high growth, high income, low poverty. Number three, upward mobility. This state has the highest levels of the American dream, where you grow up at this socioeconomic opportunity and you rise to a higher level. Fourth, widespread prosperity. What are we talking about there? This is the notion that we have the most equal distribution of income of any state in the nation. So in a lot of states, I'll be clever here, you have haves and have-yots. And in this state, much more equal distribution of income, a very large middle class. It's beautiful because a lot of people succeed in this state and live the American dream. Number five is it's the second most well-trained, well-educated workforce in the country. Well-trained, well-educated. Training means that you're trained for your job and educated, meaning that you are trained for civil society and democracy, a well-educated society critical to the functioning of government and civil society. The measure there is the percent of the adult population with a degree, high-value certificate, or a certification. We have the second highest percent of our adult population. I would say that all the other things like equal distribution of income, upward mobility, strong economy, high income, are all a function of a great workforce. And then two more, a fast-growing population that is the youngest in the nation. When you are young, you're tech savvy, you're affordable, you are entrepreneurial. You know, our youth is a real secret of our state. And then the last one are these highest levels of social cohesion, social capital. This is a state that still prevents problems, solves problems, connects. Just the fact that you're gathering today in this way, that you've been doing it for 10 years, that's social cohesion. Many of you are competitors. You're in the room together. You're talking. You're trying to solve problems and do the things that make Utah great. So that is the Mag 7, and I told you that I would end in a little bit more positive place. Did that feel good? Did you feel like that was a little bit more positive? So as I try and turn the page, this is the way I think about it, a little bit of a summary. World's on fire, tough time. People are divided. Our country's divided. Our state's divided. We're trying to guide through what is truly a new world order. The rules of the past have all changed. Zions Bank had an international summit last week. I attended it for 2 days. They brought in all these incredibly knowledgeable people. It's probably why my presentation was biased towards talking about Iran or something. But it's different, and we have to figure out how to unify, how to dignify, how to do better as a society. And I'm a believer that this state is a state that will lead in that effort. I'm a believer that this state is one of the best places to be if you want to forge a better future. And because I've spent so much of my time in the Wasatch Back, both as a recreator, but also as someone who spent my childhood in the fields of Midway, riding tote goats, if you know what that is, and driving my parents' Jeep on the back roads, having high school getaways at our cabin, marrying into a family that had a beautiful property by the homestead. I grew up in this beautiful place, and I know the people, and I know the culture, and I know the goodness of all of you. And our challenge is, in a time of growth and change, how do we lead? How do we prosper? How do we set higher ideals for ourselves and rise to the occasion to lead this nation to a better place? Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Natalie. When I hear you speak, it always inspires me to want to do better and to be a better leader for our community. And that's what we're all here today to do. I really like what you had to say about how do we dignify, how do we educate, how do we do better. And I hope this morning we were able to set the stage. Natalie helped us set the stage a little bit about what's happening at a national level, a Utah level, a Wasatch Back level, and now for the rest of the morning and afternoon, we'll be talking a little bit more specifically about the Wasatch Back. So we're going to dive into three breakouts this morning. It starts at 9:30, goes until 10:45. Those three are what's new, what's enduring, making sense of economic change. The second one is Beyond Amenities, focused on arts, culture, and events as economic catalysts. And the third is all about workforce, rethinking talent, and thinking about new pipelines for a ready-to-work workforce. So with that, please head to your breakout sessions. They start at 9:30. Please join me again in thanking our sponsors and Natalie for being here with us today. We'll see you back here for lunch.